Hello and welcome to the Columbia Daily Tribune's Mizzou Sports Podcast. This is Tribune Sports Editor Joe Waljasper, along with Tribune Football Beat Writer Blake Topmeyer. This is, believe it or not, the week of the Missouri Black and Gold spring football game. That may have slipped up on you as you have paid most attention to basketball in recent weeks. But this will be a football podcast, so if you're completely entrenched in Michael Porter mania and don't care about football anymore, now would be the time to hit the exits.
And all of our listeners are leaving 10 seconds in, Joe.
Well, let's talk a little bit of football. Spring practice, Blake, you've been there for every practice. Let's kind of get some of your takeaways. Is there a handful of guys you feel like have helped their standing in spring practice?
Yeah, I think so. I guess we'll start on offense. I think the redshirt freshman tight ends, Brendan Scales and Albert O, as he's called. I have not mastered the pronunciation of his last name, so I'm going to stick with Albert O for now and work on my skills on pronunciation in the offseason. But, yeah, those two guys, I think, have helped themselves. Scales describes himself as more of a run blocker. He's comfortable playing attached to the line, hand in the dirt. Albert O, 6'5", target, getting a little bit more used to playing with his hand in the dirt, but he was a guy that in high school in Illinois, he said he lined up as wide receiver. You know, he didn't line up attached the line ever. So the whole hand in the dirt thing was a little bit foreign to him when he came here, but seems to be coming along a little bit in that. And also we know that Missouri sometimes likes to line its tight ends up split wide in the slot. And so I think he's a good candidate for that. At 6'5", big target, seems like a pretty natural pass catcher, and moves pretty well down the field. You know, he's not one of these lumbering tight ends. He seems to run pretty well. So, you know, those two guys, I think, have stood out in terms of kind of fresh faces offensively. And then on defense.
Well, the tight end position, I think, could really be a position of strength then, because I think I really like Kendall Blanton. He's hurt, obviously, in the spring, but. And then also Jason Reese has played quite a bit. So, I mean, you're talking about four guys, it looks like, that could be playing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, for year after year, at least in the handful of seasons I've been here, and probably going back further than that, I know there's been talk of using the tight ends more. I think we're probably past the glory days of tight ends from Missouri. But I think there's a belief that maybe they still could use them more and get more out of that position. And as we saw last year, some of that talk about using the tight ends more was actually legit this time. I mean, we certainly saw more two tight ends on the field last year than a couple years prior. And I think part of that is Josh Heupel's willingness to move them around in a variety of roles. You know, they'll play H-back, attach the line, or split wide. And last year, I mean, they had three guys in the regular rotation between Colkin, Blanton, and Reese. And, you know, Colkin's gone, so they need at least one of these redshirt freshmen to claim the spot. And, I mean, I wouldn't totally rule out the possibility of them rotating among four tight ends if they really think that, you know, all four can contribute and each one maybe has a little bit of a different strength. I mean, Reese is probably the most wide receiver-esque of them. I mean, he's not as tall as Blanton and Albert O, but seems pretty comfortable in the slot. Blanton and Albert are the bigger bodies, and then Scales, you know, seems like he could be suited for that run blocker H-back type role. So, yeah, I mean, I could see certainly a pretty big use for the tight ends this year. You know, looking at some of the defensive guys, I've been impressed with Rashad Brandon. I think he's their best healthy defensive tackle at the moment, which perhaps isn't saying much because Terry Beckner's not going full speed yet, coming off that ACL injury. But Brandon looks pretty good, and, I mean, they really need help there on the defensive line. DeMarcus Acy's looked pretty good to me at cornerback. Obviously, they're looking to replace both starters at cornerback with Arion Penton and John Gibson gone. AC's a guy we saw a little bit of last year, certainly a longer cornerback than Penton and Gibson were. And Acy and Holmes are the first, Christian Holmes are the first string guys right now. I think AC's probably looked the best out of any of the cornerbacks. And perhaps, you know, perhaps he's kind of getting close to locking up a starting spot. I think the other spot could remain up for grabs. even, you know, into the mix of getting the two freshmen that signed in February, getting them into the mix when they arrived over the summer with Holmes and Logan Cheadle kind of still working in the rotation too. And then one other guy, I think Caleb Pruitt's really caught the attention of the coaching staff, the safety who transferred from Kansas State. You know, started 8 games last year for Kansas State before he broke his wrist. So this is a guy with Power 5 starting experience, and you know, Missouri certainly needed help at safety. It was a position of big inconsistencies last year. I don't know. It certainly seems like he's not cracked the first string safety at this point, but he is getting a lot of first string reps at nickelback, and I think that's kind of an intriguing possibility. There were times last year, especially early in the season, where Missouri just tried to kind of stay in its 4-3 and have Donovan Newsome cover the slot receivers, and that turned out to be a poor idea. It didn't work very well. And then they started using a nickel back, but really didn't have one steady guy that they liked. I mean, they tried Cheadle in there some, they tried Pinton in there some, a few other options, but you know, maybe Pruitt is that guy to play nickel. And as we've seen in some past seasons, you know, there are times when Missouri runs its nickel as much or more than it runs its 4-3, so it's an important position. But that's not to say that Pruitt's not still in the mix at safety. He certainly is. But if he doesn't claim, you know, a starting safety role, I think we could probably see him out there quite a bit in the nickel.
Okay, and then how about position battles that might be going down to the wire as much as anything could go down to the wire in the spring? Yeah. Is there maybe a few positions for people to keep an eye on in the spring game?
Well, I think we talked about one of them, the tight ends. I mean, Blanton won't be out there with him, you know, sidelined from off-season ankle surgery, not going to be back until the summer. So you won't get a full look at it. But with the other three tight ends, I think it'll be interesting to see you know, if one is clearly head and shoulders better than the rest, or if all three of them kind of do a few things well and a few things maybe not so well. So that'll be one. I think the center position is truly up for grabs. You know, Missouri returns all of its starters on the offensive line, but Samson Bailey is the incumbent starter at the center position. But I don't think he's locked down the spot. You got Jonah Dubinsky, the walk-on from Rockbridge, in the mix. Dubinsky was taking first string reps as recently as a week ago. Alec Ablin continues to be an option either as center or guard. And then Tristan Castillo, a redshirt freshman, is also in the mix at center. And I think that competition will get more heated in August whenever Case Cook, one of the signees, comes in. I think if any true freshman offensive lineman were to play this year, I think he would probably be my best bet. And then on defense, I think the safety position is still kind of up for grabs. I think Ronnell Perkins and Cam Hilton have kind of established themselves as the leaders. They were the guys, I think, that were playing at the best at the end of last season, and that seems to kind of be continuing. But certainly, you still got Anthony Sherrills, Thomas Wilson, Caleb Pruitt all in the mix at safety. And then kicker. You know, I mean, what an adventure that was last year with Tucker McCann. Right now they got 3 kickers on the roster with McCann. Nick Bartolotta, who's a transfer from Kansas, got a little bit of experience at Kansas as a walk-on here at Missouri. And then Andrew Carr, another walk-on. So, you know, I think that's a position that could really go down to the wire, because McCann, I think, is probably going to get first crack at it, being the scholarship guy. But, you know, he was so erratic last year that I think you have to weigh all options. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys look with some fans in the stands on Saturday.
Okay, then at the quarterback spot, Drew Locke, obviously the starter. But behind him, there's a lot of unknown. Any sense between Micah Wilson and Jack Lowry, who was the upper hand there?
Yeah, I like Micah Wilson, and you know, I don't think the coaching staff they really haven't come out and said it yet. You know, they're kind of trying to treat those two guys as equals, and Lowry was the second string guy on the spring depth chart, for whatever that's worth, not probably a whole lot. But I think Wilson's been the better of the two. Just in talking with some players, I think they've been relatively impressed with what they've seen from Wilson. Neither Wilson nor Lowry have been available to the media, common tale throughout the spring with various players. But so I haven't got a chance to talk to them. But you know, Jamon Moore, I know early in spring camp was kind of singing Michael Wilson's praises. When just asked a general question about backup quarterbacks, Moore spent the entire time talking about Michael Wilson, which, not to read too much into an answer, but it definitely, what I took away from that was he was excited about what he saw from Michael Wilson. Drew Locke said he sees some comparisons between himself and Wilson, you know, in terms of where Locke was at a couple years ago. Well, I guess a couple years ago he wasn't here, but a year and a half ago, you know, and where Wilson is now. So, and just, he looks to be a little bit more accurate, looks to be a little bit stronger arm than Lowry. Lowry, you know, has the junior college experience, but neither one of them have taken a snap in a, you know, Division I game. So in terms of that, I think they're kind of on relatively equal playing field. And, yeah, I think Wilson's probably the more talented of the two and probably has the more upside of the two. I mean, at some point, Missouri's going to have to kind of start thinking about its quarterback of the future. We're, that's down the road from now, but I would think Wilson's probably the better option in terms of that. And overall, like I said, I think he's just more talented and probably better suited to be the backup quarterback.
And lastly, I feel like spring games at Missouri have never really been a very big deal. I don't know that a whole lot of effort is put into promoting it, and I don't think fans get overly excited about it compared to most other places in the SEC. Are they missing the boat here in any way in terms of marketing their program to recruits or anything else? Or is this just, hey, it's a scrimmage, show up if you want? Is there anything being lost by Missouri and kind of the way we've come to view these spring games?
Well, I think there is something to be lost in the recruiting aspect. I mean, you know, with such little excitement for the spring game, you know, I mean, you almost don't want recruits to come, I think. You know, you don't want them to come and see a stadium that's more than half empty for your spring game when, you know, they look around the country and or maybe go on other visits to other spring games and see stadiums that are, you know, more than half full. So I think something is lost in that respect. And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. You have more perspective than I do. But, you know, I don't know that Missouri could ever get a large, vibrant crowd for a spring game like you see in some southern places and some other football crazy schools, but I do think they could do better than what they're doing. And I guess two things: one, they don't really market it at all. I mean, they keep the media fairly at arm's length throughout the spring, which every school pretty much is doing that now. But I think they could drum up a little bit more interest by being a little bit more open than they are. But then also, you know, just taking the media out of it, like even from a PR perspective and marketing side, they really don't push this game at all. I mean, unless you're really looking for it, or, you know, unless you're reading the Trib or going online to Mizzou's athletic website and clicking the schedule, like you probably don't even know what day and time the spring game is. It's at 1 p.m. Saturday, by the way. but, you know, so that's one thing. I don't think they push it at all. And then two, I guess my thought would be you would almost have to make the spring game as kind of the sideshow. Like if somehow you could kind of turn it into some sort of event party atmosphere. I'm talking probably before the game. Food, booze, live music.
I was going to say maybe have a concert after it, like a concert people actually wanted to see afterwards, something like that, and make it free.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts? I mean, is it...
Well, the problem with arguing that more people should come is that I wouldn't go if I wasn't forced to. I mean, it's a scrimmage. Every time I see one on TV, I just click right by it. I mean, I just find them inherently dull, and it's probably counterproductive to be anything but that. You know, it's counterproductive to play your good players for more than a few snaps because they might get hurt. So you usually have a bunch of third and fourth stringers out there who will probably never see you play again. And so it's really been, I think, in my time here, totally dependent on the weather. The crowd sizes, it doesn't have much to do with anything else. I think the one One year they got a pretty good crowd was maybe 2008. They were coming off that great 2007 season, and I think ESPN, one of the ESPNs, was broadcasting it, which seemed like a novel thing at the time. And you had Chase Daniel and Jeremy Maclin and all those guys. There was a pretty good crowd that year, but other than that, it's been, I think, totally weather dependent. You might get 15,000 people or 20,000, or I don't know that they usually get more, much more than that, because they always, they seem to cordon off one side of the stadium,
right.
So it appears there are more people there, but it's, and I guess I don't really blame them, but I think, like you said, it would, it's probably a couple things. There's really, under Barry Odom, I think there's really been a conscience, I'm not saying a conscious effort, but a, I think there's just not much selling going on. I don't think he sees the value in really being cooperative with the media or making the media's job promoting his program easy in any way, shape, or form. Kind of the opposite of what you're seeing now with basketball, where, you know, media have now got to interview the new basketball assistants who were hired last week and still haven't been able to interview the football assistants mm-hmm. who were hired in January.
And Brooke Haley's making $400,000 but isn't qualified to speak to the media
and
for 10 minutes.
Can't talk to any of these coaches. They're handpicking the players you can talk to, so you're not getting to write interesting features that might, you know, attract fans. So it's all just, it all seems to be, well, we just need to win and all the rest will take care of itself. And I don't think they see the value in public relations much. And maybe there isn't great value in a high attendance at a spring game, but I do think it could be more of a recruiting plus than it is, as more like what you said, where you might not even want your top level recruits to show up to it because it will seem like a letdown compared to whatever else they see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, one thing you said, it's hard to blame people, and I certainly don't either. I mean, if I wasn't paid to be there, wasn't part of the job, I wouldn't just wander out there. But so I don't blame the fans at all. I think you have to make people want to go, and kind of like what we were talking about, maybe they could make it some sort of bigger event, you know, in addition to the game. But I just don't know how much they really care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's it for this week's Mizzou Sports Podcast.